That means it's Clinton Area Showboat Theater time. Final production of the summer season. Matthew Teague Miller and others with us. We'll get to them in a minute. But Matthew, final show seemed like just yesterday you got to town.
It seems like just yesterday, but it also seems like forever ago. I mean, both of those things are true at the same time. Yeah, and it's been a great season. Jesus Christ Superstar, Little Mermaid, Cabaret, and then Oliver. I mean, each one of them, I think, was a really outstanding production. I'm really proud of what we are able to do this summer. And one more to go. And, yeah, a great one indeed.
You were in last week talking about the 2019 season. Yeah. Maybe give us a we kind of always get distracted talking about other things. Run down that season again. Talk a bit about what you got coming up next year before we get in and get distracted with other things. I want to make sure we get enough time to talk about 2019.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, so the 2019 season we're calling the British Invasion because all five shows are either set in England or they are written by great British composers or playwrights. Kicking off the 2014 season is a brand new 2019 season.
He did that in the Follies,
but it's because it won the Tony Award in 2014, and so I get start prepping what I'm going to say. So kicking off the 2019 season is the 2014 Tony Award winner for Best Musical called A Gentleman's Guide for Love and Murder, a hilarious musical comedy. They don't write musical comedies like this anymore. It's very, very fun. The second show of the season is the Noel Coward classic play Blythe Spirit, which has been done on the show but once before. It's wonderfully popular, very, very, very funny. The third show of the season is an old favorite of the showboat. In fact, the first time we did it still stands as the third highest selling show we've ever done, and that's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Because of the popularity of the show, we've already added Saturday matinees for all 3 weekends. Yes, I said 3 weeks it will be running, opening just after the 4th of July. Fun for the whole family, and really, really just a great night at the theater. The fourth show of the season is the musical theater stage adaptation of the rock opera The Who's Tommy. So The Who's Tommy was a concept album in 1969 written by The Who. It's got songs like Pinball Wizard, Acid Queen, Amazing Journey, many, many more. And it was adapted to the stage. Next year actually marks the 50th anniversary of the release of that album, and The Who is being very selective about who they are allowing to perform the show, because everybody wants to do it. So far, they've only selected 4 professional theaters from across the country to be able to do the stage adaptation. And we are, the Clinton Showboat is one of the 4 productions that has been selected. So we're very honored to do it and very excited to present it to the community because we've never done it before. The final show of the season is a music review based around the late 1960s mod British singers like Dusty Springfield and Petula Clark. It's called Shout, and it features songs like Wishin' and Hopin', Downtown, The Son of a Preacher Man, many, many more. Goldfinger. It's going to be super fun. It's like one hit after another. It's one of those shows, kind of like Footloose a couple years ago, or last year, where I dared the audience not to want to sing along because they're going to know every song in the show. So that's the 2019 season, all 5 shows. The only way to get tickets between now and next May is by getting your season tickets, which are only $90 between now and the end of the year. $90 for all 5 shows is really a bargain and a huge discount off the ticket price.
Now you probably got some people in mind for roles. I don't know. What's the and we talked a few weeks ago about the Equity Theater move.
Yeah.
What kind of impact is that going to have for next year? Do you know yet? Have you...
Yeah, I mean, we're tossing around numbers and how it's going to fit. You know, the way that the Equity Theater thing works is we transition in. So next year, we are required to have at least one Equity actor or stage manager in each of the productions, and then we will build from there. We'll probably have more than that because... I'm ambitious, and I think it's going to be good for the theater. But you know, we'll see. In terms of this year's professional company was very, very popular in the community, and I've had a lot of people ask me, "Who's coming back next year? Will we get so and so? Will we get him or her or whatever?" You know, it's premature, and we've got a lot of planning that we need to do before we can make any of those kinds of offers and gauge people's interests. But I guarantee that next summer is going to be as talented as a company as people have become accustomed to at the Showboat, and we'll see how it all comes together.
You mentioned the Equity actors. You had mentioned we get distracted sometimes, by the way. when you bring this, what attracts somebody if you're, you know, if you talk about them being, you know, kind of the step above? If that's the right term.
Sure.
What attracts them to come to a Clinton, Iowa to do a show when they might be able to go to a bigger venue, bigger town, and do the same thing?
That's a good question. And there's a couple of different answers to that, and every situation is going to be a little bit different. I mean, the Clinton Showboat has developed a reputation in the professional theater world, and people hear that we are doing great things, and they're going to want to be a part of that. Likewise, theater and any business is all about relationships, and you know, some of the first people that you're going to see that have equity contracts performing on our stage, equity card, their equity status, and performing on our stage, are likely going to be people that have relationships with me or one of the other production members, or even a history with the Showboat. You know, the one thing that we have announced is that Blythe Spirit will be starring two actors, one of whom played opposite me when we did The Odd Couple, David Coolidge, who's kind of a favorite of the show, but when he directed My Way a couple years ago, he was Felix in The Odd Couple a couple years ago. He's got his equity card, and he's definitely going to be coming back and doing it. So, you know, that's sort of the first step, and again, I mean, good work begets interest from other people, so we're going to continue to build on the reputation that we already have, and those people are going to go back to New York or Chicago or wherever they're from, and they're going to tell their friends what a great experience they had at the Showboat, and hopefully that will continue to get us more people of a very high caliber.
I think we'll be doing still need some local folks in shows. Yeah. Well, we have some local auditions typically January, February, you know, maybe early to have that date. But
for sure. I mean, one of the things that's been very important to me since I assumed this position as artistic director here at the Showboat is to continue to build on the legacy of using local talent, both on stage and off stage, in the Showboat. I think that's hugely important to who we are, in our education programs as well as in our professional company. You know, Joseph is the easiest example, is going to have a vibrant kids chorus of local children, the way that Oliver just did. But beyond that, you know, there's always a place for our deckhands to be involved. Our formerly known as the intern company, our deckhand company. He's going to continue to build both in our TYA series and in our main stage series. And on top of that, local faces that people know and love and see show after show, and maybe some new ones from the Quad Cities and from Clinton and beyond, will come and audition. And we definitely want our professional company to not just be an out-of-town company, but to be Clinton's professional theater company. That's hugely important to me.
Here may be your tough question of the day.
Okay, great.
Who's the better director in the household?
Well, that's not a tough question.
You heard the laugh in the background.
That's not a tough question because my Facebook post yesterday, I had a Facebook post yesterday about this very thing. Well, look, I'm the one that has a graduate degree in directing. So I will say that I have been doing this a long time. The work that the director next to me, who is my brilliant and talented wife, the work that she has done with Tuesdays with Maury is so superb that my Facebook post yesterday said, I might not be the best director in the house. So, I mean, I can't say enough about the work that she and the entire team have done with Tuesdays with Maury. People are going to absolutely adore this show, and that's largely thanks to her leadership.
Jamie, I guess you take over directing Tuesdays with Maury. How do you direct this show? Two characters?
Two
and
characters.
And that's it? On the
two
stage.
Men. That's all.
Can they just do it themselves? You need to...
Well, they're very, very talented. I had two very skilled actors, and that made my job not only easy in many, many ways, but a joy. They brought a lot, and it was a lot of conversation that shaped the show. And a lot of the things that they brought that shaped the show. And then I was the outside eye. I knew the story. I knew the story we were telling. And I made sure every decision along the way told a story that the audience was going to be enriched by and pulled into and wrapped up in and hopefully changed by.
You've directed shows before. How is this compared to directing a bigger show?
It's very different to have a small cast. The last time I directed, my husband chuckling was The Odd Couple that he talked about earlier, yeah. Which is a comedy, had an ensemble cast to support the two leads, and it was fast and quick-paced, and this is very different than that. Although it does still move and have a nice swift pace, it's about one relationship, and that there's no ensemble of characters, so... It was a very different experience. It was an intimate experience, and it was very, very fulfilling.
Obviously, you knew the show before. Had you read the book many times? How did it come about?
Memoir. So Mitch Albom wrote Tuesdays with Maury, as well as several other books that have been bestsellers, including The Five People You Meet in Heaven, which is probably familiar to a lot of listeners. What was your question? The memoir is really wonderful. It was a favorite of mine long ago, and when I decided to work on this production, every time I mentioned it to someone, they said, oh my goodness, that's my favorite book. Many people said, oh my goodness, that's my favorite book, or oh my goodness, when I read that, I went out and bought 3 copies and gave it to people. It's one that many people have dog-eared and creased and highlighted because there's so many pearls of wisdom. There's so much to take away from this book that just applies to our everyday life and our relationships and what's important in a day-to-day.
As a director, maybe get more easy too, but if I don't read the book, can I still come see the show?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Absolutely. If I haven't read the book, do I have to read the book tonight I come?
No, not at all. I mean, the show is a complete show. I mean, the relationship that people have with the book, because it is such a popular book, lived on the New York Times bestseller list for 2 years, we're talking about that a lot because so many people have that relationship. No, the show stands on its own. You get to know the characters through the dialogue and the relationship that they have. And they do a really good job, specifically at the beginning of the show, giving a history of the relationship prior to the series of events that the story is actually about. So, no, the show stands on its own. Absolutely.
Would you agree, Jamie?
Absolutely. I think it stands on its own. You don't have to know the book to love the story. And if you love the book, this is still a new way of interacting with the material. It's done in a unique way. It's the same story you know and love, but it has a different theatricality and a different take than the novel or the movie.
Tell us about Maury. Or I guess let him introduce himself.
This is Carl Barrymore.
Carl, where'd you come from? How'd you end up doing Tuesdays with Maury on the showboat?
Well, I've done the role before. I did it in 2015, and it was in Odessa, where that's Jamie's hometown. And she had heard that it was done there, and so she contacted me and said, would you consider coming to Clinton to do it? And I said, yeah.
And they'd done the shows together in the past.
Long friends. Amy and I acted in All My Sons together, and I saw her do Tennessee Williams' Streetcar Named Desire, you did the Romeo and Juliet, and so yeah, we've.
How's it been? Come up here from Texas to Iowa. How's that move been for what, a month or 3 weeks?
For 3 weeks, but it's been wonderful. It's been really great. I will admit that I was a little apprehensive about coming here, and because I was following what was going on there, and everybody in the company is so young. And I thought, oh, how are they going to handle a 68-year-old guy? And I got here, and everybody's just been very receptive, very warm. They didn't care how old I was. Boom. Yeah, it was great. So,
oh, you've done the role before. How is it doing this kind of a role, playing this kind of a character? Anybody who knows the book, don't want to give too much away, but
it's emotionally exhausting to play the character, but it's also very, very fulfilling, and that's a good thing about it. And Jamie's pacing of the show, and she put a firmer grip on the show, which then refined some moments really, really well, so that allows a little bit more control in the show, so that makes it so much better. And I think the audience is going to appreciate it more because of that.
I think he was the only one who was in all 5 shows.
Yeah,
eventually.
Yeah.
He was played Jesus Christ, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Played a number of other roles all through the season. How's been working with with him, because it's just you two. Have you developed a rapport?
He's magnificent. We have a great rapport together. He's very, very respectful, very kind, and we both appreciate each other very much. And he's just a very intuitive actor, and he has magnificent instincts. As I'd said earlier, I'm going to really enjoy following his career because I think it's going to go places. He's got an amazing gift.
Now, as you hear, were you here in time to see any other shows?
I got here on opening night of Oliver, and I got to see Oliver, so that was fun for me.
And obviously, what do you do other than Tuesdays with Maury?
Well, I work both at the Permian Playhouse in Odessa. I'm on the board there, and I directed a show this past season there. And I direct and act in shows at the Midland Community Theater. And I work at a church. I'm the benevolence counselor for First Presbyterian Church in Midland.
Now, see, with this a two-person show, does it take as much rehearsal as a big cast? And maybe Jamie chipped in with that too. When you only have two people, does it take as much rehearsal or more?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the in bigger cast shows, you've got rehearsals that you don't have to go to because they're not doing your scene.
Great
but
point.
That doesn't happen in this one. You know, if rehearsal's called, you're going. So, yeah. And so, you know, and the other bad thing is you wonder if somebody is actually sick and can't make it. What's the point of rehearsing when there's just two people? So, but that didn't happen. Ben and I both stayed very healthy, so on we went. So,
if you jump into that with two people, I mean, how does rehearsals go? I mean, you know, with Little Mermaid, there's a cast of characters that fills up the stage. With Oliver, there's a cast of characters that fill up the stage. Jesus Christ, the characters fill up the stage. You have two people
who have to fill up the stage. Yeah, it's a much smaller cast, much more intimate, but they do the speaking of the 40 people cast in Oliver. So we still have just as much material and ground to cover and stage to fill. And I think these two actors do that. And it's just a more rigorous on those two, I think, the rehearsal process. They had more lines to memorize. And we want the best show we can, so we fine-tune every step of the way.
Are you rehearsing today, or are you just going to, is it ready to flip the switch
tonight?
They are
ready. They're ready for an audience. We had two rehearsals yesterday, and the tech crew who have seen it all along the way had emotional response, and we're very engaged. And I think the next step is what we sometimes call the third character or the last character in the show, and that's the Clinton community. We are really excited for them to come in and bring their energy and make this production what it is.
Oh, as Carl too says, you directed, you've acted. Which do you prefer?
Hmm. Oh, that's tough. I think my first love is acting. I'm anxious to get back to it. It's been a little while since I've been working on my newest job, which is Mommy.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to get back on stage, but this has been a different kind of rewarding than I've had in the theater in a while. There's something about the collaboration of a director that is a different kind of fulfilling than being vulnerable on stage is as an actor.
Carl, what about you? You directed, you acted. Do you have a favorite?
I don't have a favorite. I will tell you that it depends on the show. There are shows that I would love to direct and I don't care to be in, and there are shows that I want to be in and I don't want to direct because I want to do that part. But I'm at Midland Community Theater. The executive director there says, well, this is the season and this is the show you're directing. And so I go with it that way. So
I thought Matthew says, what about you? You've done a few, you know, you directed, you've acted. Mm-hmm. Jamie wants to hear your answer.
Oh, no, for me, there's no question that I'm a director. There was a time that my love was being on stage and being in the spotlight. And I know I go out and give a curtain speech every night, and it seems like I'm a ham and I host the Follies. But that is a much less comfortable position for me than being in a design meeting with a bunch of designers talking about how we're going to create the world of a play, or talking with an actor about a challenging moment in a play. To me, the thing that's wonderful about being a director is that you're the person who sort of leads a great brainstorming session, which is the entire rehearsal and design process. And I love to daydream. And that's what we do. We daydream and we create things. And then ultimately, you know, you hand the keys to the car over to the cast and the stage manager, and the show kind of drives on its own when you're done with your job. And to me, that's what I love. When I step on stage again at some point in my career, it will be a much more nerve-wracking experience. I'm much less comfortable in those shoes. But I challenge myself to do it from time to time because it makes me a better director to walk in those shoes. I think that every director and every teacher should absolutely have to do that. Music directors and choreographers, too, because it's an experience that is so unique that in order to communicate with the people doing it, you have to experience it and remind yourself what that experience is.
Did I hear a hint that Jamie's going to be on stage next
year? Yeah, I mean, I mentioned a second ago when we were talking about Equity about David Coolidge coming back and being in Blythe Spirit. But yes, we did. The other big announcement that we made was that Jamie will be stepping in into one of the roles in Blythe Spirit as well. So we're very excited to get her back on stage.
We'll see you on stage next summer.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Have you done the show, seen the show?
That's an interesting question. Yes, it was actually one of my first roles in my undergraduate degree when I was in college. And my parents, it's still one of their favorite roles they've ever seen me do. And when my mother heard I was reprising this role, she said, oh, yes, yes, yes. So
did she buy tickets already?
They've already, I think, booked their ticket out. So I'm really looking forward to doing it again. I'm in college, we play all sorts of aged roles that we don't play in professional theater, and I'm looking forward to being age-appropriate for this role.
But we were just talking about that before the show, weren't we, Carl? We were just talking about that age-appropriate. I guess I hadn't used that term, but that's important in a theater like this. Sure. To have the right role.
Yeah, you want the audience to be comfortable in accepting the belief of what you're giving to themselves.
Matthew, as we get done, you mentioned station. We haven't really talked this season much about it. Give us a paragraph on the other stuff, the stage managers, the tech people. We see stage manager listed in the program.
Yeah.
What is the stage manager? What do they do?
Stage manager is sort of I've always said this about a stage manager. When a stage manager comes to me and says, what do you need from me during the rehearsal process? I say to them, I need you to be the organizational part of my brain. I'll deal with the creative thing about putting stuff on stage. They deal with schedules. They deal with maintaining breaks. They deal with, you know, every time I as a director, ask an actor to cross stage right on a certain line, they write that down. They keep everything is organized. Carl was talking earlier about how organized and what a well-oiled machine the Clinton Showboat is, and that's because we've had an incredible stage management team this year and last year, and we've got an incredible general manager who does for the whole Showboat what the stage managers do for that show. That's James Kyle Davis, if you guys don't know JK. I mean, they deal with all things logistics. If I'm directing a scene and I say, you know what, we really need a handkerchief right here, she suddenly, magically, in her stage management ways, and I'm saying her because both our stage managers are female this year, they'll write down a note to the prop person, we need a handkerchief, and I don't have to like communicate that to the props person. And then the next thing I know, because everybody is magic in the theater, I show up at the next rehearsal and there's a handkerchief. So that's what a stage manager does. And then once the show is open, technically a director's job is done, and a stage manager's next part of the stage manager's job is to maintain the show that the director and the actors and the designers put together throughout the rehearsal and design process. Because, you know, when it's a live thing, sometimes people start to cross at a different time or start to say a line in a different way, and a stage manager's job is to sort of maintain the show that was created.
As a director, you think the same thing? You treat the stage manager have that same role for you?
Absolutely. The stage manager is a big part of the ensemble of the rehearsal process. You know, we had two strong, wonderful female stage managers this season who were in the room with the two actors that I was working with that were male. So we had this nice, intimate team throughout the whole rehearsal process of Tuesdays with Maury That was a very rewarding group. And then my husband and I leave town this year. We teach at a university. We have to get back to. And so we completely trust that our two stage managers are going to maintain the integrity of the show that we worked on these last 2 weeks. Yeah. So if anything does start to change or go wrong or a new problem arises because it's live theater, they can problem solve and they can absolutely drive the show and keep it in the perfect shape that it was left in.
And that's not uncommon. You know, Little Mermaid, Jacob Brent, he was here for opening night. He's the director choreographer of that show. He's here for opening night and was gone. That show ran for 3 weeks, and Carolyn, who was the stage manager of that show, maintained with rigor and focus the show that he staged. So it was the same show on closing night that it was on opening night.
Right.
People, the amazing thing is that, you know, usually you go to a stage manager and say, I need this or something like that. And a lot of stage managers will say, I'll find out about that. And these stage managers will say, I'll make that happen for you.
They're great. We've got a great team.
I guess a quick, what's our call? It says, come see the show. What else do you like people know about acting in general? The Tuesdays with Maury?
It's a very honest and believable show. It grabs you by your heart and holds on to it, and though it may squeeze a little pain out of it, it treats it well.
Jamie, we'll give Matthew the final word of the season.
Okay,
you get the next to final.
Tuesdays with Maury. I think that we're in a place as a society where connection is so important. It's easy to look at our screen or isolate ourselves from others, and this play is all about the importance of relationship and forgiveness and loving one another, and I think that's a beautiful message right now.
Yeah, I mean, she sort of stole my line. I mean, it is. It's about kindness. It's about the human connection. It's about the human spirit. It's about love. And it is exactly what we need in this divided time that we're living in right now. And the production that Jamie and the team has put together is beautiful. It's poetic. We haven't done anything like this recently. It reminds me a little bit of the Glass Menagerie that we did the season before last in the poetry of it. But people are going to respond to this. It's like a breath of fresh air, this show. And I think we all live in such a tense world right now that we need that breath. So come take that breath and see Tuesdays with Maury at the Clinton Area Showboat Theater.
Be on Tuesday with Maury. Any final words? 2018 season wrapping up?
I mean,
you're probably looking ahead to 2019 already.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just thank you, Dave, for continuing to support the showboat and have us come in and talk about the season. Your support and really the support of the Clinton Area is what makes this theater great and what makes it something that we as a team continue to be inspired by and keep coming back for. It's, you know, our sponsors, our donors, our audience, that's why we do it. And thank you all for an incredible season. This is going to be a great way to end it. And I can't wait for the 2019 British Invasion season and share 5 new shows with you.
Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate all the time you put into getting all the folks here.
You bet.